Thanks for listening to Other People's Flowers. If you'd like to have your work featured in the program, please send it to editor@otherpeoplesflowers.com. We hope you enjoyed this episode.
This week we're showcasing a story by Ayunda Dlamini called Just Once in the Moonlight. We hope you enjoy it. Just Once in the Moonlight. The moon in Africa came out earlier than everywhere else. At 5 p.m, just as the sun was turning into a red orb and dropping off behind a row of black mountains, a gibbous moon appeared on the other side of the dark sky. I don't think relationships have to be tragic to be real, said Helen, reaching over and peeling a piece of loose wax from the candle in front of her. Henry watched her silky black hair fold off her shoulders and swing shining next to the flame. He looked into her left eye. Around the pupil were five small black dots, set about halfway in the green iris. They looked like tiny scars on the eyeball. No, but I just think they're all inevitably tragic. Either you let it peter out and then it's a tragedy, it's over, or you sit it out and it's a tragedy that you're unhappy and trying to make it work. I didn't see that with my boyfriend. There was the word again. She just had to drop it in. Remind him that despite their getting on, their perhaps not mutual attraction, she did have a boyfriend and their relationship was purely formal. Strict and formal and without temptation. What are you talking about? Another of the girls, Amanda, was leaning in their direction. Henry realised they'd made their own little enclave at the end of the wooden benches. So entranced as he was with Helen's green eyes and dark hair, that combo had always done it for him. Dark hair, pale skin, green eyes. Every single woman he'd been in love with had been the same. He knew a blossoming relationship would fall to pieces if she didn't fit the mould. Love, said Helen. Relationships. All that. What are you saying about it? Henry thinks all relationships are doomed, but I'm not so sure. You're a romantic, said Henry, smiling, and she smiled back. I've got to go to the loo. He stood up, the dream of the conversation still in his mind, and walked past a tall jacaranda tree, steered through other tables arranged in a grotesque jigsaw, and went into the lavatory. Jimmy Carter, President of the United States, stood here, said a brass plaque fixed to the wall next to the urinal. Presumably it was meant to intimidate you, make you realise that a great man had stood in that exact spot in Africa and taken a leak. Who are you, little you, standing with your small dick in your hand, unable to match the splendour of Mr. Carter? It was like finding Ozymandias's plaque in the desert, because what did remain of anyone, of anything, apart from ruin and decay? My favourite one was the little one with the dark glasses. Yeah, he was cute. Kind of funny that he had a pair of Ray-Bans, too. I guess it's like living in a mud hut by having a massive satellite dish. Yeah. Henry slid back down next to Amanda, opposite Helen. Did he feel the slither of her foot against his as he went down? Was that touch a moment to cherish? But no. In all likelihood, it had just been one of the table feet as he sat down. Let me get a photo of the two of you, said Helen, iPhone in hand. Henry put his arm round Amanda, around all of Amanda, because there was a lot of her. I need to face the right, he said, as my left side is not my strongest side. Everyone looks better in profile. Helen laughed. Let me judge, said Amanda. Henry turned to face her and turned to the left and then the right so she could see. Yeah, definitely the left profile is stronger. So turn to the right then, said Helen. They readied themselves for the photo. Your finger's over the lens, said Henry. Yes, I know that, said Helen, and moved the phone around her hand. It's still covering it. Okay, if you stop talking, I might be able to do it, she smiled. When the photo was finally done, Henry thought he looked a little pale, a week of African sun and no tan to say for it. No wonder nothing had happened yet. It wasn't the boyfriend holding her back, it was the lack of suntan. He just wasn't good-looking enough. The table's ready so we can go inside, someone from the end of the table shouted. All 12 people stood up at once and began walking inside. As hard as he tried, Henry just couldn't make it so that he was sitting next to Helen. Another man of the trip, hardly a threat but still a man, was in between them. The lights were dim inside and there was a piano in the corner. Oh, if he could just get to that piano and play a song for Helen. Then the boyfriend would be forgotten. Cheesy but effective. How many times had he played that John Legend song, All of Me, and had the girl fall in love with him? Never. But it was bound to work if he could just do it once. It was such an easy song to play, after all. The festival hall was an amphitheatre with a couple of bars and an open area on the top level. Lights, red, green, blue and yellow, danced alongside a disco ball as they waited for the main music to come on. Since entering the festival hall, Harry had chatted to Amanda and Nick, the guy he'd sat next to at supper. Helen had remained distant. Try as he might, there seemed no obvious way to get closer to her. She'd been chatting to one of the African workers in the lodge. Dreadlocks in his hair, all the body tone of a buff model, and he hoped that Helen would not be overly impressed with him. He didn't need another competitor. "We have to play our song before we leave," said Amanda. "Whatever we do, we're getting to that piano later on." "Absolutely," said Henry. "I'm not sure they'll let us," said Nick. "They will, they definitely will. I have faith." Amanda, glancing round the room. "I have faith too," Henry, looking over at Helen like it was the last he'd see of her. Midnight, and the bands were still playing. He was next to Helen on the concrete seats. They'd been playing there for an hour at least. The guy playing was a little slow-paced. It seemed to be the African way. Get everyone fired up with the first couple of bars, and then chill them all out with a slower-paced, melancholic beat. Sleep coming. The dance floor was still crowded. Whites in the middle, blacks surrounding them. The whites you got in that part of Africa tended to regard themselves as great healers. Colonial healers, even. They all came there to start some kind of social enterprise and create jobs. Or at least that's what they all believed. "Apparently this is the first time they've ever been to a nightclub," said Helen, leaning over. "First time being great too, I guess. Who?" "The white girls." The white girls were surrounded by a group of men, black and white, with each of them seemingly taking their turn to dance with them and rub themselves up against them. The 19-year-olds were photographing themselves as they danced, eager to savour their first groping experience. "I'm going to scout out the piano. See if we can get into the room," turning to Helen. "Okay, I'll come too." "Okay. Where are you going?" said Amanda. "To see if we can get to the piano. Oh, I'm so excited." Helen went first, and Henry followed her up the stairs. Outside, the night was not as clear as it had been before. Swathes of cloud washed over the pitch-coloured sky. The stars were milky white, appearing in pockets as the clouds swirled overhead. "I'm cold," said Helen. "Me too." He wanted to put his arm around her. That's what he would have done back home, but she had a boyfriend, and he couldn't do it. Not yet. They walked across the gravel, round the back of the venue, towards the restaurant. The lights were off, and most of the outside chairs had been stacked against a far wall. The room they'd eaten in was dark inside, a small pit in the grass had a fire going, a few lost drunks were sitting round it. "I think it's closed." "Never give up," said Henry, striding onwards. He tried the door on the right, and the door at the front, but of course, they were both locked and there was no way in. "Maybe there's a window open." With Helen following, he went round to the far side of the restaurant and looked at the windows. Closed. Sure enough. It would be so easy to pry one open. Let's not. And then, almost against his will, almost against her will, he put his arm round her waist and was pulling her towards him. There was no resistance. Their lips touched and he tottered backwards into the wall, her whole body pressing against his. The clouds passed overhead, and the moon lit up the dark corner. She moved away from him. "What was that?" "What do you think it was?" "I have a boyfriend." "I know. So why did you do that?" "I don't know." They were a meter apart now. She was walking away from him, dark hair whipping behind her. "Helen, wait." She stopped but didn't turn. "Couldn't we? Just once? In the moonlight." Back in London, things were forgotten. Maybe not forgotten, but certainly not remembered. They've smiled at each other in the hall, said hello when they crossed paths, but it wasn't the same. Whatever had happened in Africa, whatever fire had been lit was put out by the dreariness of London life. Her contract at work expired in March the following year. At her leaving party, they talked briefly about their separated futures. "I'm getting married," she said. "After nearly 6 years, my boyfriend's finally asked me to marry him." "I'm glad," he smiled. "I'm glad. I'm glad." Her green eyes were lambent in the gloomy bar light. He wasn't invited to the wedding, heard it was a small affair. A few friends and family only. He started seeing Katie and thought it might be love, or something close to love. He'd be lying there with Katie next to him, cold breeze coming through an open window, and he'd grip her and think, "Is this it? Is this love? Is this what forever feels like?" They were married and divorced within 5 years. No children, so it was all a formality. Sell the house and move out, and love was over. Sell the house, move out, and love was over. 15 years later, still working, that night in Africa, just a memory, he saw Helen crossing the street on a rainy day in March. There was still a cold bite in the air and her cheeks were rosy red. "Hi," she said, stopping on the pavement. "Hey." "Long time. It has been." In a cafe along the canal front, rain smashing into the water like gravel hitting concrete, she told him about her failed marriage. It had all been fine before the big day, and then it had slid downhill from there. 2 babies later, she'd realised she'd only been sticking it out for the children. "How long have you been divorced for?" "6 months now." Darkness had fallen and the rain had stopped. The night was clear, and despite the smog, you could see the moon shining bony white. They stood on the canal front and watched the serene water. He put his arm around her. "Just once in the moonlight," he said. "Just once," she nodded. "Just once."
Thank you for listening. Once again, if you'd like to have your work featured on the show, please send it to editor@otherpeoplesflowers.com. Please remember, we only accept work that has been rejected elsewhere.